Here's the blunt question. Should you be flying in these times? On a page where they show you the number of flights up in the air, and it still looks like it's pretty crowded. Let's talk about why we are conversing. We have a two-part interview over the next 20 minutes or so. Muskegon-based author Roger Rappaport, Captain Shem Malmquist, authors of the book Angle of Attack and the forthcoming Grounded, Can Aviation Survive? How the 737 MAX and COVID-19 Exposed the Underlying Structural Problems in Aviation, How It Can Be Fixed, out later this spring. Let's first of all talk about flying in general. A veteran Boeing 777 captain who flies routes all over the world, Shem Malmquist on the line. Good morning to you, Mr. Malmquist.
Good morning to you.
Call you captain, call you professor, hanging out at Florida Institute of Technology, a fellow of the Royal Aeronautical Society, frequently interviewed on air safety issues by the New York Times and Washington Post. So, thanks for your service.
Well, thank you.
Yes, you are out there flying regularly now. Is that true?
That's correct.
What's it like traveling in the COVID-19 world?
Well, I would say it's surreal. Often we're the only airplanes on the frequency. Although you still see a lot of flights out there, there's quite a few less than there were previously. And on top of that, if you're riding, and I also spend time riding as a passenger, and the flights are eerily empty.
Yeah.
The terminals, major terminals during the busiest times, are so empty that as I'm walking down the corridor, the lights are turning on due to the motion sensors. It's like living in a dystopian future. It's really odd.
How are the flight crews in general holding up?
It depends on the carrier. Freight has gotten extremely busy, and a lot of the carriers are trying to convert aircraft to be flying freight to the extent possible. The companies that were already flying freight, obviously, such as FedEx, UPS, a number of the others, are extremely busy because it's really one of the only ways that commerce can move. And in lieu of traveling, people are, if they can't travel, they're going to be moving their product one way or another. So it's really, really astounding, plus relief flights going on all over the world. But crews are, in some cases, getting pushed hard, but other cases, they're at home. They can't fly. There's no flights. And so they're sitting at home, hoping this thing blows over quickly enough so they don't lose their job and end up on the street for a while.
Yes, I mentioned you and Roger, authors of a couple of books, one soon to be out, and I will ask you the blunt question. Do you think, in your opinion, we should be flying right now?
It's a mixed answer, but I would say that it's a challenge. If you're trying to travel as a passenger right now, most of the direct point-to-point flights that people are used to are gone. Flights are being canceled at the last minute. And so it definitely is not something for somebody that is not a savvy traveler. Now, on the other hand, the flights are fairly empty. It's easy to get seats. They're inexpensive. But you do have to be really flexible and just ready and think on your feet. Hotels, lots of hotels are shut down now, so that's not available. You can't count on food service. And the few flights that are remaining can be sometimes surprisingly full. So it's an interesting mix, but you never know what you're going to get. I've been on some flights, long international flights where there are only three people on board on very large aircraft. So
yes.
It's a huge mix.
Yeah. So let's talk social distancing. Is it possible to social distance for an airline passenger connecting through the hub airports? And you somewhat mentioned this, that we're seeing fewer bodies in the parts, but we still have to rent a car. We still, as you mentioned, have to stay in a hotel. And don't you have to sit next to, you know, a co-pilot?
Right. They're sitting. Flying is definitely a challenge. We are wearing masks when we're checking in, when we're doing other things. But when we get into the airplane itself and we're flying, we really can't have a mask on at the same time as fly because it interferes with communication. So that becomes another safety issue. I mean, these airplanes are big enough, so we're about 4 feet apart. But still, you know, that, you know, there is a risk, you know, a certain extent of risk. There is also a lot of airflow through these airplanes. You know, the air changes every couple of minutes. So like anything is staying stationary. But this is a real challenge. One of the things that we all have become really really careful about is wiping everything down. We will wipe every surface, everything that you might touch with disinfectant. And so we're hopefully not transmitting it in that way in any event. So it's, you know, that's probably one of the largest differences I see is we're just wiping down everything. The same thing when we get into a hotel room, wiping down everything. Everything we might touch.
Yes, Captain Shem Malmquist with us, flying out and about, veteran Boeing 777 captain, and certainly instructing with Florida Institute of Technology, authoring the book, along with Roger Rappaport, who we'll speak with here very shortly out of Muskegon, Grounded, Can Aviation Survive? How the 737 MAX and COVID-19 Exposed the Underlying Structural Problems in Aviation, How It Can Be Fixed. That will be coming out soon. Angle of Attack already out. Just a couple minutes left, and I want to ask you just a question, obviously, about the books. But what's your crystal ball look like?
Well, it really depends on how much people follow the social distancing and are meticulous about the recommendations. The more people follow it, the quicker we'll get back to normal. Otherwise, I think we're going to see, you know, kind of a double dip. China, and we're flying, you know, I've been flying to China regularly still, and they have it locked down so tight that I think that the consensus among our pilots who are flying there is that we feel much less at risk about contracting it, anything there, than we do back in the United States at this point.
You're not on the runway now. Are you on the runway now?
No. No.
Captain Shem, tell me a little bit about what's it like to write a book?
It's a lot of work. I think that the saying that the hardest part about writing a book is doing the writing, you know, the conceptual portions tend to be the simpler parts, and then the time to spend writing it and editing it and going over it over and over, it can be somewhat excruciating. But at the same time, it, you know, it becomes somewhat rewarding. You're able to get your voice out there to a certain extent, and that's rewarding in a lot of ways.
Many more questions I'd like to ask, but need to save room for your co-author, Roger Rappaport. Final messages to us on behalf of flying, please.
Well, I think that the pilots that are out there flying, and people on the front line, mechanics, flight attendants, and we have dispatchers, air traffic controllers, all the ground support people, are really trying to do their best to keep things as safe and keep things as clean as possible. And if somebody does fly, please wear a mask, respect that the rules have changed, and just be really ready to be flexible. I think that will help everybody else out because there's a lot of stress and tensions are high. We don't need people upset because a flight suddenly changed or was canceled at the last minute because a crew wasn't able to fly it. You know, at this time, I mean, there's enough stress in the system.
Captain Shem Malmquist, keep your stress low, get your sleep, and fly us safely as you have been. And certainly thank you for the authoring that you've done with Roger. We'll give you kudos on that. Take care. Cool angle involved when it comes to co-authoring and, talking about travel, bringing you on, Muskegon-based author, producer of films, Roger Rappaport on the line. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning.
Just had a nice conversation with Captain Shem Malmquist, your co-author, so thank you for that hookup. And you have been working with Shem on a book about the future of aviation. Talk about it, Roger.
Yes, this is our second book. It actually started after we'd done a book about aviation and decided to do one following up on the concern about the 737 MAX, which has now expanded to concern people have about the COVID-19 outbreak, which has had a dramatic impact on air travel everywhere. And we're looking at the future of aviation.
Wow. So you've been talking, obviously, to the professionals and more. And I'll ask you the question from your research. Has air travel had an impact on public health here in Michigan?
Yes. According to Bridge Magazine, there's some concern that direct air travel from Wuhan, the original epicenter of the COVID-19 outbreak, to Detroit, as well as FCA's close ties with the Italian auto industry, could have had an impact on the Detroit area.
Are planes still flying in Michigan routes, Roger?
Yes. The federal stimulus package that gave the airlines $58 billion in loans and grants mandated that flights have to continue. Routes can't be closed. However, many flights have been curtailed. For example, in Hawaii, Oklahoma, and Kentucky, when you arrive, you have to self-quarantine for 14 days. And in the case of Hawaii, for example, that means you can't leave your hotel room. In Texas, specifically quarantines residents flying from Detroit and Grand Rapids for 14 days.
Are you flying now?
I'm on the board of the Editors Council of the American Society of Travel Writers, and none of us are flying.
Thank you.
We're
for
not
them.
Traveling.
Yep. Do you think non-emergency workers should be traveling at the moment from your research?
No. The people like Shem Malmquist who are flying today are risking their lives to keep us safe. They're flying in the ventilators and the PPE and all the things that we need here. And many pilots and crew members who have not been sidelined by COVID-19 are even bringing on board their own personal protection equipment. And even though the planes are cleaned regularly and the middle seats are being blocked, you can be asymptomatic and potentially infect someone on the plane. And that person could be an emergency worker on their way to Michigan trying to save lives.
Roger Rappaport, how about the getting the money back on a non-refundable ticket? I've been seeing stories about these.
Yes, you have to be politely persistent. I've been able to do it on United, Delta, and Hotels.com. If your flight is canceled, you definitely are entitled to a refund if you can't be rebooked. Even non-refundable tickets can potentially be, you can get your money back if you explain the situation that you're unable to travel, but you have to be persistent.
With your conversations, are we afraid to fly?
I think at this point, the real issue is that some countries like Singapore that fared well are now seeing an uptick as more residents return home. And there's no question that people who didn't know they had the virus flew to places where they infected others. And social distancing on any trip isn't easy. And the big question is, what are you going to do when you fly somewhere that is under a stay-at-home order? That's going to be, as Shem just explained, rather tricky.
What about international travel?
In most cases, you're going to have to quarantine for 14 days when you arrive and 14 days when you come home, and there's always the possibility of flights being canceled. Even some air hubs have been canceled, and some countries have shut down traffic, so it might be very difficult to get home. Probably not a great idea to fly internationally unless you're an emergency worker.
Let's talk a little bit about what the time we have left, Roger, the work that you and Captain Shem have done. You actually wrote an article, Should America's Airlines Stop Boarding Passengers Who Don't Need to Fly During a Pandemic?
Correct. And what we're basically saying is, do your homework, talk to your travel agent, call the health department in the place that you're going or the embassy and find out what they think, because they're on the ground and they can tell you if your situation is really life-threatening or something like that. It's a true emergency. That's different. But probably it's better to stay home right now.
And tell me again, tell me again about the upcoming book you both have coming out entitled Grounded.
Yes, well, we're looking at the future of aviation. As you know, the vast majority of flights have been canceled, and the industry is facing a crisis in that respect. And we're hopeful that when people do return to the air in large numbers, that many of these problems we're talking about will be dealt with in a safe way that will protect us, protect all of us. And that's something the industry is really working hard on right now. We're very excited about that. That possibility that flying will actually become much safer as a result of this devastating experience.
Good to know. Angle of Attack, you've also written along with Captain Malmquist. Roger, how do we continue the conversation with you and or find out more information about your work?
It's pretty easy. There's a website called pilotair.com.
There's a movie about that too, huh?
There's a movie, right? pilotairthemovie.com. And that website has a lot of information about what Shem and I are talking about. So that's a great place. And also we write regularly for Flight Safety Information, which is a great free publication that the entire air safety industry reads every day. And that's a wonderful resource that I highly recommend.
Thank you for your talents and the conversation with you, Muskegon-based author Roger Rappaport, prior conversation with Captain Shem Malmquist. Take care.